We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Tommy Trinder in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panelists to speak, if they can, on the subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repeating themselves, and without deviating from the subject on the card in front of me. And I think we should begin the show with someone who was so successful when he appeared for the first time, and he said then, you won't ever ask me back, and we did think that was probably a very good idea, but we knew you couldn't resist the temptation, so Tommy Trinder is back with us as our guest, and Tommy, the subject is, why parrots don't sneeze. Don't look like that, or you might be illustrating it. Tommy, I have to say in this game, you have 60 seconds to talk on the subject, starting now. And you've been challenged immediately by Peter Jones.
Hesitation
is correct.
Oh, he's inside now!
Tommy, as it is only your second time on I will be generous with you and not count that, but it was a hesitation, so Peter Jones must have a point.
Well, I have to register, because it's so unusual, you see, for Tommy Trinder
not to say something. There were 3 seconds already gone.
I know.
So there were 57, you have a point, Peter. 57 seconds with you, Tommy, still, starting now.
As an ornithologist, I would like you to know it is impossible for a parrot to sneeze because, one, a parrot never carries a handkerchief. Secondly, this particular bird never gets his feet wet because he's always on a perch in a cage. So it's not possible for him to catch a cold and do the thing that you've asked me to straighten out for you. I mean, all I can tell you is, I'm difficult not being able to... That wasn't a hesitation, that was the wife's teeth.
Clement Freud, you got in there. No, it was definite hesitation. And Clement, you get a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject. And there are 22 seconds left on why parrots don't sneeze, starting now.
Basically, parrots don't sneeze because what causes sneezing is the hair inside your nose, and a very ugly thing to talk about, I always think.
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Well, since parrots don't have any hair inside their nose,
I don't know they can sneeze.
And I think that's since they don't have it, you're deviating and disgusting it, you see.
Kenneth, I disagree with your challenge. Someone gets a point for that.
Excuse me, I just wonder, on a point of information, do you disagree that parrots don't have hair in their noses?
No, I was disagreeing with this challenge.
What are you disagreeing about?
I was disagreeing with this challenge on the basis that Clement was making a point that one of the reasons they don't sneeze is because they don't have hair in their noses.
So you are then?
Yes, do you think they do?
What about a bearded parrot?
Does a parrot have a hair in its nose?
No, of course it does.
Well, who goes around looking up parrot's nose?
I don't know. Nowadays, people are so desperate for new sensations, quite a lot of people very likely are.
12 seconds, Clement. Why parrots don't sneeze, starting now.
Which is exactly why parrots don't sneeze, but there are naturally other reasons, such as the noise of sneezing is impossible to emulate.
Peter Jones has challenged.
It isn't impossible at all.
No, and a parrot might do that, and that wouldn't be one of the reasons why they don't sneeze, Peter.
No,
so I would agree with your challenge.
It's impossible for a parrot to emulate sneezing.
It's possible, but I've never heard it done yet.
That's right.
But I disagree. I mean, it is possible.
It's not possible.
A good challenge.
It's possible.
He has 3 seconds.
It's impossible for a parrot to sneeze in the normal way. Have you started? Yes, not yet.
No, you have 3 seconds, starting now.
If you give a parrot a monkey nut, which is covered with...
When Ian Messiter blows his whistle, he tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. It was on this occasion Peter Jones, who has 3 at the end of that round, Clement Freud 2, and Tommy Trinder and Kenneth Williams yet to score. Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round? The subject is inspirational flashes. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Constantine had one, according to the legend, and indeed Archimedes in the bath. was inspired, it comes down to us in history, and that brilliant American actress said, over airwaves, she became inspired. They said, did you really have nothing on? She said, no, I had the radio on, which I thought. Mind you, nobody's picked up the fact that I have repeated myself. That's because on this game, nobody is as observant as I am.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition or nobody?
Yes, you repeated nobody in pointing out your error. Clement Freud has another point, and there are 25 seconds on inspirational flashes, Clement, starting now.
This is one of the very few things you can do with a Macintosh in the park, for which people will not arrest you. But if you take your hand off your buzzer, there's every chance that somebody's going to come along and say, was this the result of an inspirational flash? No, you say. This is the way I always speak, and I walk like this when talcum powder runs out at chemist shop.
There's a challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, he's getting on the toilet. Talcum powder. And he frequently used to do this in the last series. Whenever he's absolutely desperate, he resorts to talcum powder. It's the only subject on which he feels confident.
Mention talcum powder.
Peter, I agree with what you said, and you have 3 seconds on inspirational flashes starting now.
I get them in the middle of the night when it's too late to do anything about them.
Peter Jones was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and has increased his lead. Clement Freud, will you begin the next round, and the subject is Mrs. Beaton. Will you tell us something about her in just a minute, starting now?
Mrs. Beaton is probably the best-known lady cookery writer in the world, predominantly not because she died at the age of 29 and would have been incapable of having tried one-fifth of the recipes which are given in her name, but because her husband was a publisher, and a company having bought up her literary works have gone on producing them and regurgitating them annually, and very good indeed they are. It was Mrs. Beaton who not only wrote about cooking, but also gave her expertise to table manners, napkin folding, cutlery, table laying, and so on. I think my favorite Mrs. Beaton recipe is for Christmas pudding, because in it she includes so many items like raisins, sultanas, prunes, grated carrots, nuts, almonds, hazel, Brazil, and cashews, suet.
Kept going for 60 seconds, so Clement, you're 1 point behind our leader, Peter Jones. Kenneth Williams is in third place, Tommy Trinder in fourth place, and Tommy, your turn to begin. The subject is my hat. You told us when you were here about 8 weeks ago that you're never parted from it, you go to bed in it, and you cannot work without it. So will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
I read once where it said, if you want to get ahead, get a hat. So I wanted to get further afield.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the one that I use on the stage, I never bought in the first place. I've had it for 35 years, and it was given to me by Basil Radford, the late Basil Radford, when I was making a film at Ealing Studio, went to the studio one morning, and I'd forgotten my headpiece. So Basil Radford, who drove in, was wearing the kind of thing that I wore, exactly the same model. And I said, could I bother?
Peter Jones has challenged.
I'd just like to kind of put my name down. If he repeats Basil Radford a third time,
yes,
will you credit it to me?
And if he repeats studio a third time, yes I will
repeat it to you. Could he mention Naunton Wayne?
Well, he hasn't said that yet, so it'd be quite all right if
he
didn't.
I think you should remember that Mr. Trinder is a guest on this show, and I don't think anyone has explained to him that you are allowed to say the subject as often as you like.
But the subject is my hat, not Norton Wayne, Basil Radford, or the studio.
Use another word for hat is use headpiece. You don't need to, Tommy. You're allowed to use that subject again and again if you wish.
Thank you, Kenneth. He's a jolly good fella. He's a jolly good let him wear my hat.
Clement, what do you want to say?
Repetition of Jolly Good Fellow.
Clement Freud, you have the subject, and there are 8 seconds on my hat starting now.
I once went to an auction and bought a brown bowler hat, which is the only headpiece that I've ever purchased. Using this hat...
Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's also taken the lead at the end of the round, one ahead of Peter Jones. But Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is records. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, the only record I ever held was one for eating prunes at my boarding school, because the other boys didn't like this form of dried fruit, and the following day I think I probably broke another record. I wish I had a record of it. But don't have.
Tommy Trinder.
It's repeating records.
Oh, that's why I sent you last night about your hat, Tommy. It's on the card. You can repeat the...
You've got rules for each different person.
Yes, there are the Freud rules, the William rules, the Jones rules, and after a few months there'll be the Trinder rules.
You serve the options.
Yeah, right. Now, I do bend the rules a little far, I guess, sometimes, Tommy, but you can repeat the subject, so that was an incorrect challenge, and there are 39 seconds on records, Peter, starting now.
Actually, I'm not very fond of records of that type because I'm all against competition. I don't like the idea of one boy in a class being top and all the others being the reverse, or nowhere near, you know, they're not.
Rather
not an
irritation, though. I think it was a complete dry up.
Yeah. I wanted to say.
So, Kenneth, you have a point, of course, and 25 seconds are left for you on the subject of records, starting now.
Mine, of course, are the old 78s, and the moments of sheer delicious solicitude and joy as I sat hearing When the Poppies Bloom Again. I'll never forget it. I used to be moved. I was practically in tears, sitting with my wind up, because I didn't have an entrance.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of sitting.
Yeah, you were sitting rather a long time.
All right, you swine, you've got it. I hope you're happy. I'm too victorious. I just hope you enjoy it.
Kenneth.
It's all right.
You all right? Tommy, what did you say?
Repetition of the crying. I would like...
A repetition of the old act, I would have thought.
No, I would like to give Kenneth one of my records, the recording manager, a fellow called Edison. He, when I sang The Boys Have Got My Daddy, he said it was one of the finest recordings. We didn't have to do a second side, you see. You couldn't do that on a cylinder.
Marvellous, now. Marvellous, now.
Yes.
Marvellous now. The boys have got my daddy, my soldier dad. I mean, that was, oh, I don't want to see my money cried. I don't want to see my money cried. I'm going on.
How do you stop him?
I've often wondered. I think we'll get back to just a minute.
Oh, yeah.
And
the marvellous number.
Peter Jones won that
job. He revived those memories for me. So vivid in my memory that was. It reverberates.
I know. You have recovered from your crying spell now. So let's get on with just a minute. There are 5 seconds left. The subject is records. It's back with you, Peter. And you start now.
I remember when I was last on this program, I told the audience that I had a record which started on the mid...
Peter Jones was again speaking as the whistle went, and he's increased his lead over Clement Freud, and Kenneth Williams and Tommy Trinder are trailing somewhat. Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject, Pericles. Knowing your love of history, will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I think there's no question but that we owe a debt that is incalculable to this great Athenian, without whom we would not have the Parthenon today. And how many have gazed and been uplifted at that extraordinary edifice. And, of course, he was a brilliant statesman as well as naval commander in a city in which Aeschylus, Socrates lived. I mean, it don't half make you wonder, doesn't it? Because where in the modern world could you point to a leader of men who, under his aegis, produces such a flowering and such beauty, not only in the plastic arts, but literature, music. The great threnody of the lyre, which rang throughout Gaggy Ithaca.
Well, So Kenneth Williams, starting with the subject of Pericles, kept going for 60 seconds without being interrupted. He gets a point for speaking as the whistle went, and 1 point for succeeding in keeping going. Kenneth, you have 5 points. You're still behind Clement Freud and Peter Jones. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is whelks. Would you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Whelks are a sort of minor crustacean purchasable in South End and similar places on the coast. I can't get my winkle out, oh, isn't it a doer? I can't get it out with an old bent pin. Has anyone here got a skewer? It was a typical Victorian music hall song, which was not actually composed on the subject of whelks, but a very kindred delicacies, which...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Deviation, he's admitted, has nothing to do with whelks.
Quite frankly, the audience never stopped laughing. I couldn't hear a word he said.
Which was probably just as well, otherwise we'd all be off the air.
Well, those at home did hear what he said. Dennis, what was your challenge?
That
the weevil had got nothing to do with whelks.
Deviation, since he said he admitted that he had nothing to do with the subject.
Well, if he said that, then you must be right. And so, Kenneth, you take over with subject of whelks with 33 seconds left, starting now.
I've seen them on what are known as whelk stalls. And so, contrary to my friend here, who maintains that only attainable in coastal resorts, I can assure him I've seen them in the middle of the City of London and surrounded often with naphtha flares that glow in the markets of Soho, and that nocturnal behaviour, which compared with Belgravia is quite beyond the pale. But there you are. I mean, these sights and sounds draw become part of dear old London. How often we can talk.
Kenneth got quite a few more points then, including one for speaking the whistle went, and he's now equal in second place with Clement Freud. They are 3 points behind our leader Peter Jones, and Tommy Trinder is still in fourth place. And Tommy, your turn to begin.
Good job there's not five on this panel. I'd have been in fifth place.
Tommy, the subject is Blondin. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Blondin was a great performer. He was a tightrope walker of Austrian birth, and one of the greatest things he ever did was to walk across the Niagara Falls on one of these pieces of hessian drawn tightly to the other side. See, I didn't say tightrope twice. But anyway... He crossed the Niagara Falls on this apparatus.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, he's mentioned the Niagara Falls before.
Yes, and tightrope as well. Peter, yes, I can't go on being generous forever, Tommy. And Peter has a correction.
I don't mind him mentioning it.
There are two Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I know. How many there are?
They come in pairs.
No.
Peter, you have a correct challenge. There are 28 seconds on Blondin starting now.
I believe he also went over them in a barrel, crashing down into the river below.
Tommy Trinder challenge.
He didn't.
No.
I said, I believe he did.
Well, I'm making you a disbeliever. He went across with a wheelbarrow with his agent.
Tommy, you have a correct challenge, and you have the subject of Blondin back, and there are 23 seconds left starting now.
Well, during my interruption, I gave the lot, talking about the apparatus that he took his agent across in. He was an Austrian, which made him able to yodel while he was going across, and there's not many people that can yodel at the same time as walking across the Niagara Falls.
Clement, what was your challenge?
It was repetition.
It was indeed. We won't go through all the words, but just say that you have 6 seconds on Blondin, starting now.
It is well known that one of the many things Blondin did not do was cross the channel in a wheelbarrow, which he...
Well, Clement Freud was speaking when the whistle went, and he's gained that extra point. He is now only 2 points behind our leader, Peter Jones, and two ahead of Kenneth Williams. And, Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject is graffiti.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. I'm sure that you can tell us far more about graffiti than any other subject.
Vinnie Kenneth.
Will you try and talk for just a minute on the subject of graffiti with 60 seconds to go, starting now?
A lot of people mistakenly imagine that this derives from the word graph, which, as you know, is the Greek to draw. It doesn't. Graffiti comes to us from Italian. The coinage is 1851, according to the OED. And I have no reason to quarrel with that august and distinguished body of people whose job it is to prepare such a very fine reference book as that. So we know that it means to scratch on a wall, soft surface. It could be done glazing in pottery, but we have now associated it.
Kevin Freud's challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
You can't scratch on a soft surface. You scratch.
Well, that's a very good challenge, yes.
You can. Yes, I scratch myself in bed, you know.
There's no answer to that, is it? Tommy, you must come back again, obviously. Kenneth, you have 19 seconds to continue with graffiti, starting now.
And, of course, we associate it, as I said before.
Clement Freud has shown.
Repetition of course.
And associated, yes. Well done, Clement. There are 17 seconds on graffiti, starting now.
Perhaps my favourite graffito was written on the inside door of one of those toilets which had a 10-inch gap.
Kenneth Williams
has shown. This is a family show. I don't want to hear about this kind of filth.
There are 9 seconds for graffiti. I disagree with your challenge, Kenneth. Clement continues, starting now.
As I suddenly remember that Kenneth, that Peter... That
hesitation. Hesitation is right. Peter, you have 5 seconds on graffiti, starting now.
Well, on the toilet door, it said, "Beware of the limbo dancers."
So, Peter Jones has then, having got in just before the whistle, spoke when it went and has gained that extra point. He's now 2 ahead of Clement Freud in second place, a little more ahead of Kenneth Williams, and even more Tommy Trinder.
All bets are off!
Imagine.
Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject is my biographer, and there are 60 seconds on which to talk, naturally, starting now.
The most disturbing thing about my biographer...
Kenneth Williams. Yes, I agree. There are 51
seconds. Thank you for your generosity.
On my biographer, starting now.
My biographer would need to be something of a genius, not to mention an amanuensis, because he never mentions me.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Rip didn't mention.
Very keen ear.
You've got to give credit where it's due, though.
Yes. But never give a Jew credit.
Seconds are left, Clement, with you on my biographer, starting now.
When he said to me, "Whom can we get to play Clement Freud in the book of the film?" And I said, "Surely you mean the motion picture of the volume?" And he admitted that that was his intention. He had made a mistake, but nobody had challenged him, and if they had, somebody would have buzzed and they would have got 1 point. My biographer is 19 years old, has red hair, and is called Gladys, which, if you've got to choose a biographer, is probably the best name, the most preferable sex and the ideal age for that sort of écrivain, which is what the French call someone who puts pen to paper, or sand to vellum, alternatively biro to wood, or lithograph to metal. I'm not now going to say...
Tom, Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, he just seemed to be floundering there.
I was giving a...
Nothing to do with... The subject.
I think that he wasn't floundering. He was keeping going magnificently, but he had actually got rather away from my biographer. He was discussing the different aspects and different treatments of writing.
That is exactly what a biographer does. Did you not realize?
You're talking, the subject is my biographer.
Yes, who has?
I don't think your biographer would write with vellum or parchment.
Yes. Why it's taken so long?
I disagree. Peter Jones has a correct challenge. There are 3 seconds left, starting now.
I hope it'll be a very long book.
Chad last comment of Peter Jones brings the game, this contest of Just a Minute, to an end, which always seems to be very short, never long, because it goes so quickly and we enjoy it so much. Tommy Trinder, who returned from his previous triumphs, finished in fourth place, but as usual, he contributed full measure to the game. Kenneth Williams, who triumphed magnificently a few weeks ago to win, was in third place, but only just behind Clement Freud, but he was 3 points behind Peter Jones. Popular win, and congratulations to Peter. It only remains for me to say that I do hope that you've enjoyed the program and will want to tune in again. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.